Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Just Bible Ministries Fellowship Broadcast. This is Mark Cooper, and our topic today is rescued. Living on this earth is living in the realm of sin, realm of corruption, darkness that is isolated from God. All around us there is turmoil and strife, natural disasters, greed, anger, sexual abuses, racial hatred, selfishness, sickness, death, and this all saturates us every day. You know, today's headlines read, quote unquote, the latest wrong in the world today. The bigger the wrong, the more coverage it gets. And we, if you're like me, we feed on these. We feed on this world of wrong because that's our nature, and we want to dwell in the wrong. Think about the good movie that you watched. You know, love a good action movie, and there's always a wrong or something going on. There's always something written in the plot that is not according to God's will. There's violence or corruption or sexual immorality. This wrong, it sells. And it gets attention. As Christians, if you're like me, we live in attention. We have this natural tendency to gravitate to the wrong. But the Holy Spirit in our life, He convicts us. And we're heartbroken by the evil that saturates the world around us. See, the Bible teaches that evil is propagated through the world by our enemy, Satan, who is the ruler of the earth, and we live in that rule. But as Christians, we're separated from that world, and we are to live separate. See, nothing on this earth provides us comfort or the peace that we long for. At times, the immensity of the oppressiveness crescendos to the point that we want to scream, "Get us out of here! Come, Lord Jesus, come!" You know, Paul wrote a letter to the church of Colossae, and we call that Colossians in our Bible today. From the message Paul is sending to the people in Colossae, it's easy to speculate that they struggled with the same tensions and the same tension of living in a world of evil, knowing that it was not God's initial intent. Paul understood this tension, so he writes this letter and explains God's plan to rescue us out of this current earthly life. If we look at the book of Colossians, and we're going to look at a couple of verses in chapter 1, verses 13 through 23. And it's a great synopsis of who Christ is, who Jesus is, and what He's done for us. It's really the supremacy of Jesus. And as we read through this, and I'm going to go through it verse by verse and kind of add some additional thoughts and comments that apply to us as we go through each of these verses. Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 13. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transformed us to the kingdom of His Son He loves. This is God. It starts out with God. God delivered us. And the NIV uses the term rescued. God rescued us from the power of darkness and transformed us to a kingdom of His Son, the Son He loves. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says the same thing. It says that God raised us up through the power of the Holy Spirit, raised us up, and put us and made us sit in the heavenly places, taking us out of this world, transformed us, raised us up, putting us in the heavenly realms. We're not part of this world. We've been taken out. This is not our home. We need to stop dwelling on it and focusing on the Lord. See, the power of the darkness, that's the evil. That's what Satan wants us to focus on. But God says, no, I've taken you out of that. I've taken you out of darkness. I want you to see the light. I want you to live a life with me, a life in the light. In verse 14, it says, in whom, talking about Jesus, we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. We have the redemption from this darkness, a redemption from the power of the darkness, a redemption from the sin. See, the Bible tells us that we're born into sin. We're born into sin. We live in the natural world of sin and evil that Satan rules. And yet God pulls us out. He redeems us from it. And he forgives us for any of our past sins. Done. It's a done deal. We're forgiven. In verse 15, describing who Jesus is, identifying the supremacy of Jesus. It says in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is the image of God. He's the first image of God, the image of the invisible God. He came to earth, lived as a man, but he was the image of the invisible God. He's the one that represented a God to humanity in the physical form. In verse 16, it says, for all things in heaven and earth were created by him. And then we're talking about Jesus again. See, Jesus was there during the creation. Jesus was there pre-creation. He's God himself, the image of God. He was there. And all things were created by him. Things that are visible or invisible. The mountains, the trees, the creation that we can see with his eyes, he created. The things invisible. Our internal organs, our heart that keeps us beating. The molecules that put all this creation together, are those invisible things, he's also created those. Thrones and dominions he created. See, he created the positions of the kingship. He created the positions of the presidencies. He created those positions. We think that man evolved them, but that's not the case. God developed them and put them in place. Whether principalities or powers, whether it's the angels themselves or the demons, he created them. All things were created through him and for him. All these things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. What a powerful statement of who he is. Understand that who he is in the realm of this creator, all this is for him, all this was by him, and he provides us redemption and forgiveness. And he comes to this earth and lives a man. He gives up all that. He gives up all of his position and power and comes to earth to live as a human so that he can understand the struggles. He can understand the darkness. He can understand the power of the darkness in human form. Verse 17, for he himself was before all things, and all things were held together in him. He holds it all. Whether it's the universe, whether it's the planets, whether it's multiple universes, whatever it is, this whole creation, this earth, you, me, everything is held together by him through Christ. He is the head of the body. He's the head of you. He's the head of who you are. Sometimes we want to put ourselves on the throne. Sometimes we want to say that we are the ones that devise the throne in our own little inner universe. But he is the head. He's the one that we should be looking to for direction. He's the one that we should be looking for guidance from. Verse 18 continues, he's the head of the church. Any pastors listening to this, this is a refresher. You are not the head of the church. You are not the leader of the church. Christ is the head of the church and the leader of the church. It's not our church. People are not yours. It is. They are Christ. And we need to be looking to Christ and humbly saying, how do we want them to be led and shepherded? And then to show the people who Christ is. Anyone that is not showing who Christ is a false teacher, because it's about Christ. And what we are reading here is that he is the one over all dominion. He has the supremacy position. It's about him. Verse 18 continues, as well as the beginning, the firstborn among the dead. The firstborn among the dead basically is that he's the one who sacrificed his life and experienced the separation from God the Father, which is a spiritual death, that he is the one that experienced it for us. That's the firstborn amongst the dead that it means. So that he may himself become first in all things. See, he was the one who gave himself up. He came off of his throne. He came out of the realm of human being, died on the cross, gave himself up so that he could be first in the death and the separation and cover, take that penalty on for us. He took it on so that you can have redemption, so that you can have the forgiveness of sin. Verse 19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in his Son. The fullness of God was in his Son when he was here on earth. The fullness of God in his Son is the one who now sits on the throne and is your advocate. See, in John chapter 15, Jesus talks to his disciples and teaches them, saying that I am in the Father is in me, and you are in me, and I am in you. And so as believers, as we understand who Christ is, as we are images of God also, that Genesis, the first book of Genesis talks us that he's created us as his image, the same type of an image that Christ was. We are created with that image of God. The image to show love, the image to have compassion, the image to have a heart to help people, the image to show who God is and to display his presence on this earth, in this earth of darkness and destruction. We are to be his image and light. And God was pleased to have his fullness in his Son so that the people would know who God is, the same way he's pleased that you are, have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. Verse 20, and through him to reconcile all things to himself by making peace through the blood of the cross. Jesus giving up his life on the cross, that blood, that sacrificed blood, was a reconciliation of all things back to God. Through him, whether things on earth and things in heaven, all created things are reconciled back to God, whether it's angels, whether it's demons, whether it's creation of the earth, whether it's creation of the universe, all that which would have been under the curse, you and me as human beings. God allowed Jesus to reconcile that because of his blood, and to reconcile that back to God the Father. And that reconciliation is our rescuing out of the darkness. Verse 21. And you were at one time strangers and enemies, and your mindset as expressed through your evil deeds. See, we all have done wrong things. I've done them. We've all sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John says if we say we haven't sinned, then we don't understand. We don't understand who God is. Because we need to understand who he is. We need to understand his statutes and how he wants us to live before we recognize that we sin. verse 22, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through death to present you holy, without blemish, and blameless before him. See, this reconciliation is to take in what he did with his physical body, that physical sacrifice that he did for us, now gives us a reconciliation. And what he does is he takes you and me, and he places them before God the Father, places us before God the Father, and says, they're mine, they're blameless, they are holy, and they're without blemish. They're perfect. This is not a future thing. This happens right now. Right now, by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and following him and his statutes, and learning who he is, and learning who God the Father is, and how the Holy Spirit works in your life, right now, if you are willing to do that, Jesus is standing before the Father and saying, you are holy, without blemish, and blameless. The NIV translation says that you're not accused. See, our evil, the evil one that is ready to attack us, Satan, wants to accuse us and say, he's a bad person, because that's what's in the back of our mind. We did all these wrong things. Woe is me. That's Satan. Wipe those away. That is not you anymore. You have been pulled out of that darkness. You have been pulled out. You've been transformed. You've been rescued out of that. And now God the Father is saying, I love you. You are rescued. You are holy. You are blameless. And no one is going to accuse you. And the last verse that we're going to talk about is verse 23. If indeed you remain in faith, established and firm, without shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. This gospel has been also been preached in all creation under heaven. I, Paul, have become its servant. See, what we just went through is the gospel. You just heard the fullness of the gospel. The gospel of God the Father wanting to pull you out of the darkness. He did it by sending his Son, who died on the cross, has rose again, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, and sent the Holy Spirit to work in our life, to convict us of our sins, to change our life, to give us an understanding of who God is, to learn who he is, and to live in the heavenlies, and so that we will also share with others, so that we will also impact others, so that we also teach others. That's the gospel. Gospel that's been preached to all creation. And Paul says that he's a servant. Mark says he's a servant. Are you a servant? Are you a servant of the gospel? God the Father has rescued us through the supremacy of his Son, Jesus Christ. The one who is the image of the Father contains the full character of God. He existed before creation. He created all things. He holds all things together. He is the head of all authority, kings and presidents. You know, we're in a position of looking at presidencies and people that run nations, and it doesn't matter, because God's the one in charge, and Jesus is the head of all authority. Whatever he wants to happen to these nations will happen. He is the head of all authority. He is the leader of the church. He is the true shepherd. Not a man, not a person creating doctrine. He, Jesus Christ, is. And Jesus wants you to understand that you've been rescued and that you need to give glory to God, not to man. He died on the cross. He's been resurrected. And he gives you redemption and forgiveness. This is supremacy. He reunited you with the Father. He presents us perfect and blameless, unaccused. See, that work is done. The rescue mission is complete. Our only response is to simply have faith and hope in this rescuing. Have faith in who Jesus Christ is, and to have faith in God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to have a hope in the eventual living with Christ and God the Father in all eternity. And our responsibility is to show as many people as we can the rescuing power of the Lord. We need to teach people that God has already solved the world's problems. All the issues you see on the news, they're solved. God already has this solved. It's a matter of time. He has already removed us from the present evil and gives us a peace. See, it doesn't matter what this world does, because you're in God's family. You live in the heavenlies. Take this life, Paul says, because then I will be in the presence of the Holy Father. Take this life, because I will instantly be in the presence of my Lord Jesus Christ. He's already removed us from this present evil, and we will have a future that we will live with the Almighty forever. Just Bible Ministries is in the business of showing people around the world God's rescue plan. Join us as we build God's kingdom and teach people the truth of His Word. Share this broadcast with your friends. Find out more. Go to justbibleministries.org and see what we're doing around the world to teach the gospel, to teach the Bible, to share this gospel, to share the rescue mission. Thank you for your attention. If you have any questions, comments, please email me, mark.cooper@justbibleministries.org. Join us again next week as we open up the Word of God and see what it has for us. Until next time, this is Just Bible Ministries, one project impacting many people.